Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Commander Rob Hansen, Nancy Hansen, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Hey, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thanks for tuning in to Raising Expectations on this Monday night for this week's edition. We're going to have a wonderful time talking together. We've got a special guest that many of you have tuned in because you're anxious to hear from him. And you know about how our format works very quickly. We've got a team of co-hosts. I'm blessed. I'm Joe Schofield. I'm blessed to have these people in my life and on the program with me. I've got Commander Rob Hansen, who flew an F-14 jet and protected our nation for years from Annapolis, a graduate there. He and his wife Nancy in Arizona. And Rob is retired and a wonderful guy. You're going to love meeting him if it's your first time.
I don't know who this guy is who's talking.
Yeah, right. Now. Don't say anything, Rob. That's it. We also have just above him
your Spartacus.
Yeah, Dr. Paul Hall, retired pastor and theologian, and someone to whom people have looked for answers to life from the Bible and to walk with the Lord in their life for many, many years. I know because I'm one, and he's been my friend for over 50 years, and I'm sure that's the added zero somewhere. But anyway, Paul, so glad you're here, brother. It's great to see you. And also, Stephanie and Dr. Craig, but it's Tank Thayer. Stephanie is a very special lady. She is a UC Davis grad with her husband also, and she does very special coaching on health and wellness, not just what you eat, but also how you take care of yourself and how you think about yourself, which makes you able to take life a day at a time and trust in the Lord. Stephanie, we're glad that you're here. You're always an inspiration. And Tank, Dr. Thayer, who is a surgeon and a very special friend to all of us, he has answers usually before we have the questions. And we're so glad because we appreciate the good things that you share with us. And it's a joy to be able to share this time with you tonight. So tonight we're excited to hear from once again, a guest that all of you, so many have texted and emailed in to me saying, could you please get Richard Ray back from Fox 4 News in Dallas, Texas for so many years. Many of us, in fact, last week's guest used to watch you every night, Richard, just like I did back when I was there pastoring in the Dallas area. And Ron said to say hi to you. Greer, he's there in trying to think where. McKinney, lives in McKinney, and said to say hi to you. So Richard is a unique individual. He has the ability coming through probably, I'm not going to say how many years, but many, many years, as a newscaster, giving him an insight into the lives of people, giving him what we like, a heart for people, and most of all, a love as in his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and having walked with him, mixing in what God's done in his life through the everyday appearances and working with people. He never knew who he's going to meet next. Could it be an emergency here or this there? But I don't need to tell you about that. I'm going to let him tell you about some of that. And tonight, guys, he's going to share with us about the missions and the things that God's enabling him to do. Now, here's the reason I think this is really exciting, because God takes us through life as we know and works with us through all the areas of our life. And he gives us hopefully some of that things when we're listening called wisdom. A lot of people can have knowledge, but with that knowledge comes wisdom on how God works through the lives of people and in situations. And then he calls us, and Richard has a very special call in missions, helping people. We're going to let him tell you all about that. So I have to say this, Rob. I say it every week. Got to show people I know French. Without further ado, and that's all I know basically right there, we're going to welcome, let's give a hand and welcome Richard Ray. Richard, we're so glad you're here with us tonight. Thanks for being on Raising Expectation. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing now. Just let our newer members get to know you a bit.
Yeah, I should back up, and I guess for the people that didn't see the last time I was on, I did spend 36 years at the at KDFW-TV in Dallas. Was Fox 4 the last 25 years or so that I was there. And I retired in May of 2019. And since then, I've been doing some acting work. I got another film to shoot this week, just small parts at this point, some commercial work and some voiceover. And it's just a fun second career. I'm actually trying to learn a little bit more about the behind the scenes stuff. I'd like to get involved in faith-based films. I haven't been able to get hooked up with anybody on that yet, but that's just something I'm dabbling with. But as I told your viewers the last time, my wife and I really got convicted in 2004 that we needed to get involved more deeply. We were every church or every Sunday churchgoers, but we weren't really involved in the church as much as we should have been. And Rick Warren's book, Purpose Driven Life, really convicted us that we needed to get involved in missions. And I told all that a really neat story, how it changed our life, how it enriched our life, how it just has all of our energies and all of the blessings that God has heaped upon us since making that initial decision that we were going to get involved in the missions ministry at work or at our church. Prince of Peace Lutheran Church here in Carrollton, Texas. And last time I talked a lot about the Kenya missions and the Peru missions. And I know Pastor Joe and I have talked about there's a local mission that I'm involved in called the Denton Freedom House. And it's for a drug and alcohol rehab. It's a year-long program, a really wonderful program that I think Joe had asked me to. I think he had a friend of a friend who was in need of that kind of thing. So I talked a lot about that. But I think one of the things I did promise last time was I thought one of the things that I do talk to local church groups about a lot is our prayer life. And I always tell the story about how impactful Rick Warren's book was in getting us involved in the missions ministry, convicted us that we needed to do that. Shortly after that, we got a little pamphlet from a friend of mine, a photographer at Fox 4. And I think it was called Couples Praying Together or something like that. I remember we just come off the high of Rick Warren's book, and we weren't really all that impressed with this, but we read about half of it, and we started praying together as we went to work. My wife was a producer at the station at the time, my boss at home and at work. And it was kind of funny. This is back 2004. We started praying every day as we went to work. You know, and the first couple of times we did it, 5-10 minutes into the thing, we still had 20 minutes to go to get to work. But soon we were filling up the whole drive to it. And what's grown out of that over the years, and what is so, again, enriching to our lives, is praying together as a couple. And this prayer has now grown. It takes me about 45 minutes to do it now. And I usually do it when I'm working out, or if I've got a long road trip or something, I'll do it. And we do it together when we can, we walk and pray. But it's a breathing, living, evolving prayer. And each day that I do it, I did it again today, each day that I do it, I'm just struck by how many wonderful answered prayers God has given to us. That doesn't answer all of them. Sometimes it takes years. There are young people that we prayed about them for 10 years to find a godly husband or a godly wife, and they finally found one, and now they've got two kids, you know, and those kind of things happen. But I know I promised to talk about that last time, and I think that's a really important thing for couples to pray together. And we do it walking. And again, if we can't walk together, I'll do it during my workout. I try to work out every day, but that was one thing I know I promised to talk about last time. But I know we want to talk about other missions too. Another mission that I didn't really get to talk too much about was there's a young couple in Alaska now that have become like our godchildren. You know, they're not children. They're in their late 40s, probably early 50s. But we feel like they're Mark and Cheryl Lynn Hargrave. And they're involved with a mission called, I wrote this down because I make sure I want to say it right for people who are interested in it, Child Evangelism Fellowship, cefalaska.com. And basically, up until COVID, they did a lot of traveling to remote villages and everything. But it's evangelism for young people all the way up through high school. And that's something we've been involved in recent years. And as I said, Joe, last time, and I kind of want to open this to the questions, but it's so enriching. God doesn't need us to do anything, but he allows us to be involved in these things. And when we see the fruits of this, it is just so enriching that, again, I've begun to write a book that I call Divine Appointments. And it's basically little snippets of how we got involved in this 15 or 20 ministries that we're involved in around the world now. And in each one, there was a divine appointment that led to it. So let me wrap that up and open it to questions by saying, I want to tell you about the divine appointment that led me to Mark and Cheryl Lynn Hargrave and the ministry in Alaska. About 6 or 7 years ago, our mission work in Kenya had evolved to the point where we weren't doing the traditional take of, you know, young people and young adults and do the traditional kind of, you know, build a church and put on vacation Bible school and that kind of thing. But we wanted to keep taking people to Kenya to expose them to Ndoto.org, N-D-O-T-O.org, which is a sponsorship group in Kenya that I'm on the board of directors for now. It is a wonderful ministry. But I had put on Facebook, you know, we're all kind of nervous about social media, but I had put on Facebook, just on my fan page, that we were organizing what we call a vision trip. And out of the blue, a man named Mark Hargrave contacted me. He works for a June Hunts ministry here in Dallas, and he was interested in going along. Well, long story short, he went with us. We did the mission work in Kisumu, Kenya, and then we went on safari for 3 or 4 days. And that's how that divine appointment on Facebook led to us meeting Mark, praying for him to find a godly wife for 4 or 5 years. Yeah. And he finds a godly wife who's involved in this ministry in Alaska, and now we're going to Alaska this summer. We're going to go stay with Mark and Cheryl Lynn. I talk too much, but I can ramble on and on, as you guys know from the last time, about the different ministries involved in. But that's another one that's really special to us.
That's wonderful. Yeah. Amen. Anyway, boy, divine appointments. I think that's great. I used to tell people all the time, and you guys chime in. I used to tell them, everybody who crosses your path, even if it's for 60 seconds, ought to be a better person for having been lifted up by you. Christ does it through you. Just a little word or a look or some way that you're used to lift that person up. And I've seen you do that all the time. And it looks like it worked all the way to Alaska. That's perfect.
Anybody? Now we have to keep our eyes open.
Yeah, that's right.
Man. Eyes and ears open.
Yeah, divine. I don't believe in accidents. Everything's planned ahead. God has a reason for it. Yeah, amen. Anybody have a thought on that in your life, a testimony? I know.
No, it's interesting because as you were talking, that was going to be my first question is, what things guided you to pick the missions you did? And you're writing a book about it. So clearly it's had a huge impression. The other question that always comes to me is when you're on these mission trips, what miracles have you seen on these trips before, after, during?
Right. I think I said this last time that years ago I heard a pastor say, if you haven't seen a miracle every once in a while, you're not hanging around the right people. Well, that's one thing about mission work is you see miracles. Things happen. And the spiritual world is also a lot closer to the surface when you get to a place like Kenya. Now let me pick something, because there's a number of them. But let me tell you kind of a miracle story from my mission work in Peru. It's one my wife tells, actually. It gives me chill bumps every time I tell it. But we were going door to door in Peru, and we work at a place called Waikan with a missions ministry called Refuge of Hope Peru. You can find it on the internet, refugeofhopeperu.com or .org. And they were going door to door and doing testimony. Now in Peru, the evangelicals or the Protestants are fairly small number. Most people come from a Catholic background, and there's a real tension there that's kind of weird. It's another story, but we were going door to door, and my wife and this group of women knock on this guy's door, and he says, "I dreamed that you guys were going to come see me today." And he was Catholic. And they had received some pushback if they happened to approach. Most places you go, if you ask them somebody they want to, if they want you to pray for them, they're like, "Oh yes, please," and they have prayer requests, and it's really easy that way. But in Peru, sometimes the Catholic would get angry about it when they would find out that you were not Catholic. But this guy started out a little bit angry, but then he told them that he saw them coming to him in a dream the night before. And my wife could tell the story a lot better than I can, but as they went on with the discussion, he got his Bible out, and they started talking about it, and he said he'd started to do some study, and yeah, they had a few different books in the Bible and everything, but by the end of it, they were brothers and sisters, and again, in a culture where the evangelicals and the Catholics really clash, God had sent a vision to that man that these women were going to come and talk to him. And I know they all went away, tears in their eyes and having godly goosebumps. But there's a lot of stories like that come along. I know I've got a lot of stories about it, especially in the Muslim world. Jesus seems to come to people in dreams. And again, this Denton Freedom House, there's a young man named Joshua and his wife Donna. They have three little kids, and they've been in Kurdistan, Iraq, on and off for the last 4 or 5 years in a shadow of ISIS. And of course, we get a newsletter from them every once in a while. When they're home, we go see them once in a while. But they tell story after story about how the people that help them reach into these unreached communities are people that Jesus comes to in dreams. And so again, I'm kind of getting all scattered around, but yeah, if you're not seeing a miracle once in a while, you're not hanging around with the right people.
Amen. He's always working.
Hey, Richard, is Shining Path still an issue in Peru? I know that was a big problem, 20 or 30 years ago.
So I say that again?
The Shining Path, the terrorist group in Peru.
Well, yeah. In fact, I'm glad you asked that, because the place we work is a place called Waikan, and it's about 30, 40 miles from Lima. And back when the Shining Path was on their rampage, Waikan was the epicenter of the Shining Path. Mm-hmm. Sendero Luminoso or Luminoso Sendero, whatever it is. And my Spanish is pretty decent. But anyway, In fact, when we first started going down there, like 2005, 2006, we were working in a orphanage in Waikan. And to describe Waikan, it's like on the side of a mountain, there's like three blades of grass in 100 acres. I mean, it's just all just rocks and dust, dry. And these are very poor people coming from the Andes or wherever, and they're coming and they're just squatting and putting up tin shacks and whatever. But we actually had trouble keeping translators because, for example, one young man who was a translator for us, he was in medical school and from a fairly wealthy family. And when his mother found out he was in Waikan, she hit the roof. said, you got to get out of there right now. That's a dangerous place. We've never had any trouble with that. The Shining Path terrorists, they haven't been a real issue there for, what do you think, 20, 30 years?
Maybe 30 years.
It's been a while. It was, but it's still maintained. It's like, I guess, it's like Harlem maybe 30 years ago used to have this reputation for being a really bad place. That's what Huaycan is in the suburbs of Peru. Mm-hmm. But no, we've never had any trouble. It's a potentially dangerous place, but the young lady that had been running that program for us until she had to flee the COVID thing, mm-hmm. She was down there for several years just as a single young woman. She's now married to a Peruvian, and they're up here kind of waiting for things to, because Peru shut down much more firmly than we do. They have martial law. You could not go on the streets. Men could go out on Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday, and women could go out on Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday, and mm-hmm. you could only go to the grocery store and whatever. And it took them a while to get out, but they needed to get out because it was shut down so solid. But anyway, that's the short answer is we've never had any serious problems with them.
Well, that's good to know. Actually, up here in the Phoenix area, I've met several people from Peru. And when I was in the Foreign Service, one of my Spanish instructors was Peruvian. Great guy. And I've just found them to be great folks. I also worry, too, again, when you talk about Central South America, there's always the concern about drugs and cartels and everything. I don't know if Peru's got the same problem as, you know, some of the other countries down there.
No, not nearly to the extent that Colombia once did. I don't think Colombia is that bad anymore either.
No, it's not.
Most of that stuff has moved up to Mexico. But Peru's a pretty easy place to. You speak about Spanish too. I have a much easier time understanding the Peruvian Spanish than I do the Mexicans. The Mexican slang is so bad, but. The Peruvians are wonderful people. And, of course, we also do vision trips down there, if anybody's interested. We take people to show them what we're doing in Huaycan, and then you got to go to Machu Picchu, got to go to Cusco. You know, we try to make these vision trips sort of a trip of a lifetime, along mm-hmm. with showing people. And generally, it's older people who probably wouldn't be equipped for the old-fashioned, really tough mission work.
Mm-hmm. Do you have information on how people might want to, say, sign up for any of those mission trips?
Yeah, in fact, if people would, Refuge of Peru, Refuge of Hope Peru.org and Dotto.org, N-D-O-T-O.org. In fact, coincidentally, we're hoping to go. I don't think it's going to happen, but we're hoping to go in April. And there's a local Baptist pastor who's a friend of mine who wants to go with us. He and his wife, David Bird, and his wife Brenda want to go with us. And they've got some other people. And there's, again, I'm on the board of directors for Ndoto, so I know those vision trips really well. We go to mm-hmm. Kisumu, and we get a chance to meet. This is really good for people who sponsor their kids because we time it for April when the kids are out of school. And then Ndoto has a retreat. They have the grade school kids on Monday and Tuesday. They take a break on Wednesday. They have the high school and college kids on Thursday and Friday. So you can actually go there. If you sponsor one or two or three kids, you can actually spend a lot of really good quality time with your kids. Mm-hmm. And we go on safari, which is, you know, the greatest safari in the world. You go to the Masai Mara or one of those places there. But that's in April. And if I'm happy, Pastor Joe, if you want to put up my email for anybody who might be interested in either the vision trip to Kenya in East Africa, which we're hoping to do this year, but it may not happen till next year. Kathy and I go about every 2 years. And also, once things open up, we'll go back to Peru. Now, with the Peruvian trip, Kathy and I have done several of these vision trips with people. So we've been to Machu Picchu three times. We don't want to go to Machu Picchu again. So although Cusco is awesome, too. But we took – the last time we went there, we went on an Amazon river cruise out of Iquitos. Yes. Iquitos, Peru. And it was one of the top maybe three vacations we've ever taken. It was just awesome. It's not the actual Amazon, but it's a tributary of the Amazon in the northeast part of Peru that was just phenomenal. I have to do it again.
There you go. Amen.
But RichardRayTX@yahoo.com. Anybody who's interested in any of these ministries I'm talking about tonight, that's why I do these things, Pastor, because I want to promote these ministries that I love.
Amen. Amen. It's amazing to see that happen. I have a good friend, Bill, who must be 80. I think he's 84 now, and he still goes actually from the Brazil side of the Amazon up the riverboat where we brought medical supplies and we did those things, and he builds churches. And that guy's out there, Richard. He's 85, Rob, and he's just hauling these things around. All the guys say, I can do that. And they build these munchers. And when he leaves, there's a little church that can seat 100 people, and they just love building. I think he's built something like 18 or 20 churches over the years, and he's still going strong. I couldn't keep up with him. He's so strong and so quick. It's amazing what God can do on trips like this. Hey, somebody else. Got a question for Richard.
My favorite Bible verse is, todo lo puedo en Cristo que me fortalece. I can do all things through God.
Philippians 4:13. Amen. Amen. Paul, that brings back memories as a pastor, right? Remember your mission people you sent out?
Lots of memories. Yeah, Richard, good to see you. Glad you're here.
Good to see you again.
If I may, I'd like to back up a little bit on what you shared with us last time and a little bit today. I'm curious, and always like to hear people's journeys. What was it, you mentioned that you and Kathy were church attenders, but not all that involved in the church life and things like that. But what were one or two principles that really hooked your heart when you read Rick's book, maybe, for example? Or how did you begin to discover how God was moving in your heart towards a heart towards missions? Can you kind of give us some insight? Maybe people would like to hear that.
Yeah, I've got some thoughts I think that are important on that. As you know, as I said last time, that we really after we finished the 40 days of purpose, we really felt convicted that we had to find a ministry in the church that we wanted to do. And this story is worth telling again. Well, we decided it was going to be missions, so we went to a pastor at the church who led the missions ministry, and he said that they had three trips going that summer. They had one to Kenya a lot. And my wife had said, no, she didn't. She wasn't comfortable with that at all. And so I told pastor, I said, well, we'll pray about it. Game to go anywhere. The key here is we listen to what God's calling was for us. That yes. led us not only to, well, it led us to all our dearest friends in the world. It led us to dozens of people. It's led to, of course, the fact that, first of all, we can't do anything. That nothing else in the world can fulfill us, because God working in us, the Holy Spirit working in us, us being enriched our lives. Because we met another couple about our age who were involved in it. They called it, and we still call it, Carecycle. But from any church principle, for a church to get big, it's got to get small. You got to have small groups. I mean, that's the model of the original church. These are small groups of people who are invested in each other's lives and are truly brothers and sisters in Christ. And we couldn't do the purpose-driven life with that small group because we were traveling coincidentally to Peru. But we took the book with us. And then when we got back, we got involved in that small group Carecycle. And again, that was 2004. Here we are, 2021. And we've grown old together. I mean, at the time, we all had kids in high school and maybe college, and now we're to the point where we're all losing our parents. And but I mean, it's this group of brothers and sisters who love each other, and we don't agree on everything, but there's just a bond there that I think has been very instrumental. It's something you don't get just by going and sitting in the back row of the church every Sunday. You've got to get involved with other brothers and sisters in Christ. And we have these monthly meetings where we do, you know, Bible fellowship, Bible study and fellowship. And it turns out to be a lot more fellowship probably than Bible study sometimes. But then in between those meetings, I mean, the women all have a group text growing all the time. There's group text. Everybody's okay. Pray for my brother who's going through this. And so we're just like one, we coined the phrase. I've seen it since on a Sprint commercial. We coined the phrase years ago, friendly. It's family or friends that feel like family. Mm-hmm. But it's much more than that, brother and sister in Christ. So that's a long scrambled answer, but that's what changed our lives so significantly.
Richard, I think we got most of that. I think they may have given you an ABC or an NBC mic.
I don't have a mic here. I'm just doing
I know. It might be a little loose connection. We missed a little bit. We lost you a little, and that's an exciting story. So that's better. We got you now, but we lost the cable. Maybe there's that snowstorm still hitting there in Dallas. I don't know. We've been following that. That was something. But yeah, family, that's a great coin to phrase. How about that, Paul? That's bringing friends and family together. That's good. Paul, can you hear me?
I can hear you, yeah.
Oh, good. I wasn't sure.
I don't know if I answered your question very good there, Paul.
I'm one of these notorious note takers, so if I seem disengaged sometimes, I'm writing. Another thing, it kind of piques my interest a little bit, Richard. When you go to Peru or Kenya or other places that you might visit in terms of missions, understand, I think it's wise for us as Christians to understand that we are constantly and continually engaged in spiritual warfare. And realizing that to be true, the importance, what kind of things do you share with your people who go on these tours in that arena, if anything, if that's a fair question? You know, do you kind of prepare their hearts to engage? Because
in fact, if you're interested in missions, anybody interested in missions, there's a pamphlet called Prepare Your Hearts Before You Pack Your Bags. Mm-hmm. And we used to do that before every mission trip, but it's just a little pamphlet, and it talks about just really common sense stuff about cultural differences and kind of what to expect, but to get your minds right. And again, I think that I'm pretty sure that's the title of it. Prepare your hearts before you pack your bags. And it's just a thin little pamphlet, and it's got work stuff. And it's the kind of thing where a mission team can do that in the lead up before they go. And that is an issue. One thing we found about when we were doing the traditional, when we started doing mission work, it could be up to like, you know, 20 or more, mostly young college kids, maybe a couple of seniors in high school sprinkled in, and then some adult supervisors. And we would do, the kids would do mimes, ways of telling the Jesus story. Without words, they would do mimes. We would do street evangelism. We would go to hospitals and prisons. We would build houses for widows, that kind of thing. And we found out really early that you can't just throw everybody in the mix. There's got to be some, I don't know, weeding out is the word, but you got to be careful about who you take, especially young people, because I know in one case, I think somebody had a girlfriend from college who was maybe not as familiar with the church and the workings of the church, and got over there just really freaked out by the abstract, the absolute poverty and sickness and the things you see in a third world. And we work in a very, very tough slum again in Kisumu, Kenya. Kisumu is the third largest city in Kenya. It's on the Lake Victoria. 3 million plus people. Nobody's ever heard of it, but it's a very hard place. The slum that we work in is, again, like the hardest slum in the city. And a lot of our kids would come back broken in ways that maybe they needed to be broken, but come back just they get back to the opulence that we just take for granted. And after seeing people that didn't have clean water, people that had nothing but mud floors in their huts, and when they came back, it was why God, do I have all this and they have nothing? And a lot of that can be, I mean, you have to work through problems sometimes for kids that come back with that. And I don't know that it's bad to have our hearts broken that way, but you've got to be careful about that. And Paul, you mentioned also too that this thing about spiritual warfare, and I did touch on this earlier too. The spiritual warfare is right on the surface in places like that. You go into hospitals. We went into hospitals where, when we started using the word Jesus, demons would come out of people. I mean, there would just be, I mean, it wasn't, it was the demon would transform these mild looking women into just something screaming at us in a language we didn't understand or whatever. There's the spiritual warfare in those places. In fact, that's one thing I pray for. Allison and Michael are the couple now that run our Allison Slack and Michael Amundi are the couple now that run our Canyon thing. And that's one of my prayers for them every day, is that God would protect them from the spiritual warfare of that place, because the spiritual warfare there is just right on the surface.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things is, from what I see, is that you mentioned the younger folks. They come from a culture that's kind of self-centered. And one of the key tenets of Christianity, I think, is to go into other-centeredness, not thinking about self so much, but about others and their condition and what you can do to try to make things better for them, not yourself.
Well, and that's for all of us. I mean, it's also the other thing about doing a foreign mission, and we got a lot of local missions too, but doing a foreign mission is you've got to get outside the idea that Christianity is just a American thing. It's a global, you have to become a global Christian. And our hearts go out to Christians all over the globe in places where it's not safe to say you're a Christian. I mean, we had a couple that we supported for a while that was driven out of China about 3 years ago. China, that's a wild story too. I tell stories all day about China and what God has done through me in a couple different ways in China. But China, at one time, okay, I'll go back to when George W. Bush was president. Kathy and I had planned to go on it was the first time we ever did a Viking River cruise. And we just got the super deal where we got $500 round trip air to China. We got to take this Viking River cruise. So the Dallas Theological Seminary, which we've supported on and off in the past, had invited, they do every year. They invited me to Kathy and I to come to a fundraising luncheon. And then communications director, now the top guy in the whole place, Mark Yarborough, was sitting at my table and we were just chatting back and forth. And I told him, well, we're about to go to China on this. He asked what we're doing. I said, well, about 2 weeks from now, we're going to go to China. Well, he said, you know, we just signed an agreement with the federal government in China. They're going to allow us to put seminary classes on the internet in Mandarin. And this was a huge deal, you know, because for years, China had been so oppressive. Mm-hmm. Well, that got me thinking. And I had been taking my camera along and doing stuff for Channel 4 in the past, which is another story I told last time. So I took my camera and I shot some stuff. And when I came back, I did this whole story about how the Dallas Theological Seminary had been hosting officials from China, and they worked through this agreement, and the Chinese were allowing them to put seminary classes on the internet. Well, that led to a long story that I'll tell another time. But at that time, the federal government was starting to loosen the reins a little bit, but certain provinces were still being very, very very, very tough on Christians. You know, they have this, there's the sanctioned above ground church that, you know, and there's this huge underground church that they can be persecuted in. Well, things got opened up for a while, but then about 4 or 5 years ago, they clamped down again. And mm-hmm. and we had a mission team over there, a young American couple with three blonde haired boys, and she's a 6-footer. They really stood out like sore thumbs over there, but they were literally driven out. They just couldn't stay any longer after working there successfully for a few years. So same thing happened in India about 4 or 5 years ago. The prime minister there is a real militant Hindi, and he's driven all the missionaries out. And we had a missionary in the Bihar district of India that was driven out maybe 5 years ago. So, but that's not always a bad thing either, because it's not the America's church. They went over, they planted churches, they trained pastors. Mm-hmm. If the church is going to grow, it's got to be the Indian church. It's got to be the Chinese church. Right. It can't be the Westerns running the church anyway. So right. Sometimes I think that's God's will. Okay, you've been here, you've done your work, you go home.
That's mm-hmm. right. Now we go from there. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Tank, you had a thought a minute ago too. Greg, did you have a thought too?
Oh, it's just one of those I learned from a friend that you leave with so many people and you come back with that many friends. So yeah. What stories have struck your heart from people you've gone with?
Let me tell you, I do want to tell you the China story. I just love this story. It's a God story. On that first China trip, if you ever get a chance to do it, now is not probably the time to do it. We went in 2008 when they were just getting prepared for the Olympics. So they were putting in Western toilets and they were doing all sorts of stuff that they didn't have before. And we started out by flying into Beijing, and then we did the Great Wall and the Forbidden City and all the stuff you would do around Beijing. Then we flew to Xi'an, did the Terracotta Warriors, and then we flew to Chongqing and got in the river, spent 6 days on the river, and ended up in Shanghai. Well, as part of that, the way Viking works it, you have this core group of 30 people who stay together wherever bus you're in, Xi'an or Beijing or Shanghai. It's the same 30 people in the bus, and you have the same same guy running it, same guy or gal tour guide running it. His name is not Paul, but I'm going to call him Paul. Paul was our tour guide. And I told you earlier about wanting to shoot some video on that church, that story about the DTS and Mandarin on the internet seminary. Well, Paul was a really bright young man, and his English was just superb. And Kathy and I fell in love with him. And again, it was a divine appointment. And, you know, like most Chinese, he didn't really know much about religion. And he had some questions, but he helped us out a couple of times in what we were getting back to the ship and that kind of thing, because I was interviewing a Chinese Catholic priest and some other things. But Paul helped us out, do this and do that. And at the end of the trip, we just fall in love with this guy. And I kind of emailed him back and forth a little bit, but China's so restrictive. I mean, and he would every once in a while, he would send me a cryptic little email, and it was obvious that he was afraid to do anything more than that. Well, fast forward. We started doing these Viking River cruises, and we had a couple that one of our care disciple groups, one of our brothers and sisters in Christ, care disciple, one of our family, they'd heard all the stories about China, and they said, we want to go to China. If we go to China, will you guys go with us? Well, oh, yeah, sure. Never thinking they would actually do it. Well, they did. So this is 4 years later, and we're going back to China with this other couple. And this time we're starting in Shanghai and ending in Beijing. So we get into Shanghai, and this time our tour guide is a young woman called Wendy. So we're in the back of the bus, just kind of talking with Wendy, and we just happened to mention that, yeah, we had met Paul. His name was Paul, and we've been able to communicate with him a little bit. And she got real excited. She said, "Well, Paul, he's now the tour director for the whole boat ride." So we get on the boat, and sure is, he's standing up there and he's giving the introduction. And he's telling everybody what you got to do. And we say, well, we think, man, he might remember us, you know. So when he gets done, we walk up and we get about 10 feet away from him. He goes, Texas. And for the whole rest of the trip, he mother hand us. And I mean, he was so good. We wanted to tip him and he wouldn't take any tip. And you are my American parents. Well, the end of that story is that he's been able to move on and get other tour guiding things. And he's been able to go to Europe, guide trips. He's made one trip to the United States. And when he gets out of, and I shouldn't even say this because if he gets back, he could get in trouble. But when he gets out, he can message me on Facebook. So again, Facebook, that evil Facebook, here I am carrying on. He'll message me on Thanksgiving. He'll message me on Christmas. Hey, we talk a little bit about Jesus. I try to at least talk to him a little bit about Jesus. He just told me that his daughter was just accepted in medical school. He's so excited about this. So again, God led me to this guy. Catherine and I love him. We're just, one of our prayers has been, please get him a job that gets him a chance to take a trip to the United States once in a while. So, I mean, we would fly to Los Angeles in a drop of a hat to spend 2 hours with Paul.
Mm. Yeah, those great, great relationships. God's always working. Stephanie, you got a thought? Anybody want to share? This is fun.
I do. So we haven't really talked about it much, but we've done a lot of missions and a lot of medical missions. And so a lot of the things that you're saying, Richard, really resonate. Some of our best friends, the people we didn't even know that we needed in our life, are from these trips, because it's real. It's deep. Very quickly, you see God, the spiritual warfare. When you were talking about that, we went to Haiti after cholera broke out, and I had never seen spiritual warfare like that, or after the earthquake and cholera broke out while we were there. Sorry. And we saw voodoo, which I've never seen in my life, and the amount of prayer we did. And I love that you mentioned prayer at the beginning of this, because there is nothing more powerful that we could do than pray. Your mission might be right in your living room or your bedroom or your closet or your gym or whatever. That has so much power. Maybe you can't do the mission, but that is your mission, is right there on your knees. So I love that you shared that. So thank you.
Yeah, mission friends, you never forget what you could be apart from somebody that you went on a mission with for 5 years, and you see them and it's like you've never left them. They're just, there's a bond for life for those things.
Amen. Amen.
I want to mention another thing that I have not talked about in either of this. My job, I was so blessed by my job. But after the tsunami, which I had actually spent time in Iraq and Kuwait during the Iraq War in 2003. And then the tsunami hit about, you know, what was it, December, January, you know, 18 months later, whatever it was. But I went to Sri Lanka with Texas Baptist men. And you talk about an awesome group of guys. And Texas Baptist men, they do work all, and I'm not a Baptist, although they told me I'm welcome to come back. Now that I'm retired, I can go back. I know you guys have heard of Texas Baptist men, but the work they do is just phenomenal. And that the 2 weeks that I spent in Sri Lanka with Texas Baptist men, we came back and did a documentary on that that I loved and they loved, thank God. If they wouldn't have been happy with it, I would have grown up heartbroken. But it really was. They do great work. Texas Baptist men.
What did they do in Sri Lanka, Richard?
We got 2 minutes. We got 2 minutes.
Go ahead, Rob. What was it that they did in Sri Lanka?
Well, they have expertise in mass feeding and water purification. They can take a muddy puddle and turn it into drinking water. But when it got over there, it all changed. The mass feeding part about it had to be done, but it was a horrific event. But they ended up having to go into wells. All these wells had been flooded, so you got contaminated wells. So they had to figure out how to go from well to well to well and uncontaminate them. And they figured it out. They've got a lot of expertise. They're some of the best in the world at what they do.
Mm. Gene Grounds is a friend, good man. You might have worked with Gene Grounds. He's worked with them for so many years. I remember meeting him. Somebody else. Hey, listen, we've got two and a half minutes. Anybody else have a question on this from your experience? Want to ask Richard?
I'd like to just spread.
What got you started in the news?
I'm sorry.
Paul went.
I'm sorry. I just want to sprinkle something on each of you here. And Richard, I remember you talking about your son Derek and being in prayer for him. I know we all have people that we pray for that we care so much about. I read an article from Fuller Magazine about 3 weeks ago, and there's a young man named James Layton who teaches theology and Bible in Maranatha High School in Pasadena, California. And he wanted to instill in his class members, you know, those high schoolers, which is a difficult job to do sometimes, if not always, but he wanted to instill something that would hopefully make a difference down the line. So every class, he starts by saying, you are the beloved children of the King on high, and you have infinite value and worth, and you are called to be a part of God's story. And listening to what you had to say, Richard, and Cher, and how God unfolds his story in your life, and Steph and Tank, as you've shared, and Rob and Joe, certainly, it's good to know that we can share life on a level, knowing that we are the beloved children of God, and we are called to be a part of his story. And so I just want to keep encouraging you, Richard, just stay in there and just watch what God is going to do. It's a fantastic, wonderful life. And I so appreciate what you've shared with us tonight. Thank you so much.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Richard,
thank you for your service.
Thank you, Tank. Excuse me. Richard, can you give us a final 45 seconds before I pull the plug and we're all going to say so long? And any last thought? Stephanie, you got a thought? Okay, never mind. Okay, good. All right, you're good. Go ahead, Richard.
Well, I just say, I would encourage you guys, pray with your wives, pray daily. Get into the Word. I know you guys all do that. And listen to where God's leading you. And he's led me some wonderful places. We have our heartbreaks too, but I'm so blessed. We are so blessed. We are blessed by him.
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. Hey, Richard, I just want to pray for you. We all want to pray for you. I want to say a prayer and we want to thank you. We'll thank you again. Just say, let's pray for it. Father in heaven, we thank you for Richard, for his wife, for their lives together. And as Paul said, we're all a part of what you call us to do, as Galatians 2:20 teaches us. It's you living through us. We're crucified with you. You live through us. We're part of your plan. Father, we pray you'll meet them both at the deepest points of their needs as they faithfully follow, serve, and watch you work in their midst. Lord, we've been encouraged. We've been challenged. We've been blessed hearing the things that Richard does. And may everybody we meet around the world, in our backyard, wherever it might be, may they see the love of Christ. May they see that there's something different in us. It's called Jesus Christ. May we look at life realizing your ways are not always our ways, but you have a plan. There's no panic in heaven, and we get to be part of all that you do as you work in our midst. Bless Richard, Father. Thank you for our friendship. Thank you for allowing you to be with us tonight, and thank you for his heart, for you, and for the world. And we pray this in Jesus' precious and his holy name. We're saying amen.
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 Rob, thank you, guys.
It's your love, Rob.
God bless you.
Thank you, Richard.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, I wish we had 2 hours. We could just have so much fun. But this week's version of Raising Expectation is winding down as the clock goes tick-tock. Where's the TikTok, Rob? Go on, give me a TikTok.
But
no TikTok. Okay.
But if Richard, if there's time, if Richard can pass on again the website, the names, the contact information for just both.
If anybody wants information on any of these, just email me at Richard Ray TX at yahoo.com. And I'll answer them all.
And we're going to put that on our site. Thanks, Rob. Richard, we're going to put that on the site. Everybody just go to Raising Expectations, bbsradio.com/Raising Expectations. We're going to get this address on that site so that you all have it. And thanks for being with us tonight. And follow up. Say, hey, give us a note on the page. Let us know that you were blessed also. And thank Richard. Get a hold of him. Drop a note to him and let him know you appreciate his mission. And there is a donation button on there, too. We're funded completely by what you do and how you supply. And God always takes care of this. We need your help. So God bless you. God keep you. We look forward to seeing you next week on next week's version of Raising Expectations. And God bless. We'll see you later. Everybody say so long till next week.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556. Or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.